In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we observe the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. It is a unique day in the church year in many ways because today is a day dedicated to a specific point of doctrine, which is in contrast to most of the rest of the church year that is dedicated to the life and teachings of our Lord and his apostles. And so because of the unique nature of this day, there is a unique central feature of Holy Trinity Sunday. It is not a biblical story, a biblical text, so much as it is this doctrine of the Holy Trinity, as is especially and clearly articulated in the Athanasian Creed. Now, for many modern American Christians, simply those words, the Athanasian Creed, are enough to garner groans and frustration. Maybe it's the length, maybe it's the repetitious nature of the Athanasian Creed that often causes boredom for so many of us. Because the doctrine of the Trinity, even as it is articulated in the Athanasian Creed, is difficult to understand. Especially if one Sunday a year is our only exposure to this creed. It is without doubt just about impossible to even begin to grasp the Athanasian Creed if you only hear or read it one day a year as we recite it together in the divine service on Holy Trinity Sunday. So all of these factors then can combine for some of us and lead us to not just get frustrated with the Athanasian Creed, but maybe even despise it. Why even bother? I mean, we have the other creeds. We have Christ. What's the point of all the rest? This attitude of despising the mysteries of God is not unlike the attitude that we see of Nicodemus in today's gospel text. As he comes to our Lord Jesus in the dark, out of the sight of others, to talk with him, and yet it certainly seems that Nicodemus is being at least a little ornery and stubborn, if not outright rebellious against the words of Christ here, as he stubbornly asks questions that he either knows the answer to or he knows are not good questions to be asking. But this leads to an important revelation and realization for us that Christ reveals to Nicodemus, and then through the pen of the gospel writer, he reveals it to us. Namely, that understanding, seeing the kingdom of God, only can come about in one way, namely by new birth. No, of course, let's be clear that this understanding of God that comes about through the new birth of water and the Spirit will not be a complete understanding on this side of eternity. And yet there is an understanding that comes with the new birth of water and the Spirit, an understanding that allows us to see the triune God for who he really is. And so for those of you who struggle with the Athanasian Creed, for those of you who do not understand the Trinity, which in some measure is all of us, here's the main point. The Most Holy Trinity is familial. That is to say, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in his very nature and at his core relational. Not just any kind of relationship, though, a familial, a family relationship. It's not insignificant, then, that Christ invites Nicodemus to come out of his spiritual darkness through new birth into God's family. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For it is birth that is the primary way in which one enters into any earthly family. Therefore, it is through new birth that one enters into the family of God. Dear friends in Christ, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the key to understanding the Trinity as much as we ever will on this side of glory. The Trinity is familial. This revelation allows us to understand the Trinity not directly, for the Trinity is and always will be beyond human comprehension. And we know well that analogies have their limits when it comes to explaining and describing that which is incomprehensible. And yet, family is more than an analogy when it comes to the Most Holy Trinity. For God has described himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the breath, the life giver. And so in many ways, human families are the analogy for God. God is the real thing. And we are a mere shadow and example of that. Of course, there is more to God than this. But this is what we have been given to know. This is how God has revealed himself to us, so that we might come to see, and more than that, that we might come to experience the love of the Holy Trinity. The love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our fathers in the faith instituted this feast of the Most Holy Trinity for our joy, not as a burden. And so, if you see the Athanasian Creed printed in the bulletin and begin to groan, you are missing the point. The mystery of the Blessed Trinity invites us into the heart and center of our faith. For as the Athanasian Creed articulates very clearly what we read in the Scriptures, that our faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is necessary for salvation. Apart from faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one cannot be saved. For it is the Father who created all things, who loves his world, who loves you enough to send his Son to be joined to our flesh for all eternity, that he might take upon himself your sin and go to the cross to suffer and die the punishment that you deserve. And now that the Son of God is ascended into heaven, he sends the breath, the Spirit of God, to breathe new life into you, that you may come to know Jesus Christ and the love of the Blessed Trinity for you. And so by the grace of the Holy Trinity, we are invited to the new birth that brings us into the family of God, that is the Church. For this, the Church, is our true family. The fact of the matter is, earthly families falter. They break apart. Sometimes because of human decision and sin, and if not by that, certainly by death. Earthly families break apart. But God's family of the Church is eternal. God's church never shrinks, not even when one of its members dies. For they are merely transferred from the church militant here on earth to the church triumphant in heaven, awaiting the resurrection on the last day. Dear friends in Christ, this is why the Most Holy Trinity matters. Because it is at the heart and center of your eternal salvation. So are you bored with the Athanasian Creed? Would you rather that pastor preach on something more interesting than the doctrine of the Trinity? Nicodemus probably would have wanted these things too. But this is the only way to salvation. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.